You are so welcome to Elevated, and I'm so blessed because today with me here on the line, I have an incredible woman of God who's doing great things for the Lord, and I can't wait for us to get to know her better. Caitlin De Beer, I've been telling the people all about you. Welcome to Elevated.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you. And yeah, I'm always excited to share on these platforms that reach people that you wouldn't otherwise interact with, which I love. So yeah, thank you.
Caitlin, let's go a little bit back to where you grew up, where you are from, and really how you were introduced to God. If you would just share some of that with our listeners, please.
Yes, of course. So I live in KZN and I'm from KZN. I grew up down the south coast of KZN in a small sort of beach town, beach farming town, and went to school down there. And then for high school, went up to the area called Kloof, inland a bit, and I went to boarding school at a school called St. Mary's. And they are a Christian school. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And yeah, it was there that I met the Lord. I think it was, yeah, from the get-go, they just did faith so well as a school, and I can honestly say that. And my daughter's there now, so I'm a very proud old girl. But they really introduce people to the real Jesus that we love and know. And yeah, and so I found the Lord obviously through relationships with other girls, especially older girls who sort of walked faith with me. And yeah, it's yeah, so it's I've been saved for a long time.
That's incredible. That's amazing. It also means that you have various testimonies of who Jesus
Oh yeah.
has been to you and for you and through you over different seasons. You'll always hear people saying that in this season, God was a father to me. I really got to know him as a father. In this season, I got to know him as a redeemer. If you were to just share some of those roles that God has fulfilled or played over the years in your life, how would you characterize him?
I think, I mean, obviously it's there's just so much, but I would think my sort of most recent testimony, if I can call it that, was in 20. So I was about to say I've got two children. I've actually got three. I just had a third.
Oh, wow. Oh,
So I'm
wow.
still getting comfortable even saying this. But she's 4 months old. But I had my kids in 2016 and 2017. And so it was very close together. And I ended up damaging my pelvis in a whole process of stories and things. And then I was running a lot competitively and injured my pelvis. And through that journey, I ended up in the end, by the end of 2019, I couldn't walk at all. And now I had two small kids, and I was the super fit, healthy mum who suddenly wasn't that at all. And I felt in the years that followed that, I felt like every hat that I'd ever worn in life, whether it be mum, whether it be at the time I was doing a lot of motivational speaking on stages. My career was clinical psychology, so whether it was that, whether it was mum, like the sporty person, whether all these different things, leader in the church, I felt like I couldn't offer the world anything. I was just this blob that had to sit on my bed because I could barely move because of this just chronic nerve pain. Then my bladder stopped, so I had to learn how to catheterize full time. At the age of 30, just not things you ever envision for your life, especially, and I can say this especially as a believer, because I definitely believe this incorrect theology that, like, the more that I loved God, or the better I loved God, or the better I worked for God, that the less bad things would happen in my life. And unfortunately, faith doesn't exclude us from suffering. And yeah, and so I think the role that the Lord played in that time, and it was then that I started writing, and my books have done really well. But it was in this place of surrender, of actually coming to understand Holy Spirit as the comforter, and not like the comforter that lives in the sky, the comforter who, like, sits with you on your bed and affirms you and then fathers you, God the Father who fathers you in a way that says, like, you're enough here as my daughter. And if this is the only hat that you wear, and that you sit in your bed and you can barely open the curtains, that's enough. And goodness, I'm making it sound easy. It was horrendous. I
And
would
I
not fall
actually,
asleep.
yeah. My apologies for interjecting there. That's actually where I want to get to. Getting to a place of surrender, especially when you're going through challenges, is quite difficult. And that struggle that happens between you and your incorrect theology, your incorrect beliefs, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and your situation, when you're in the middle of all of that, the thought of surrender just sounds so challenging, and we struggle to get to that point. What would your advice be from your own experience, but also as a life coach, to somebody who might be finding themselves in that position right now, where they know the only way they're going to get through this is to surrender, but they just can't bring themselves to surrender their pain, to surrender the control? They can't bring themselves to it.
So, I mean, going back, so when I was 17, 18, 18, I was in rehab for an eating disorder, anorexia. And it was then that I like learned this. And so that's what I'm going to share is the psychologist then, I wasn't allowed to exercise because I was in for a eating disorder, you know, so they're trying to make you put on weight and so on. And I at the time this I went to the psychologist's rooms within the first week and I was like, no, you're living there, you know, it's so intense. And she said, I said to her, I was like, you don't understand. Like, I have to be allowed to go for a run. I'm going to crack. And she said to me, Caitlin, that's why you're here. Like, we want to see what happens when you crack, and we want you to see what happens when you crack. And crack I did, and all that happened was I just cried for 7 days straight. I just cried. I couldn't go to any therapy. I couldn't do anything. And it was something that changed my life, and it led me then to studying psychology, and I went back to varsity and I changed my degree, and so became, you know, a life coach, and I lectured in psychology for a long time at university level. And this is how I raise my children. It's just allowing yourself, and this is surrender. Allowing yourself to actually go there. I think we cling so desperately to control and to like holding it all inside because we're so scared of what will happen when I crack. Except the truth is, it's probably not as bad as you think.
Sure.
And probably you'll cry a bit, you know, maybe hit a wall with your hand if you're a man. And then it will all actually be okay. And I think it's in that space of that like fighting of like I have to hold on, I have to cling, I have to keep going, I have to, you know, whatever, keep starving myself, keep drinking every evening, keep, you know, whatever those things are that we all doing, you know, keep trying to stay afloat because my finances are a mess. Keep actually, you know, when you actually face whatever it is that emotion that you're so desperately running from, the Lord will meet you in that space and it won't be nearly as scary as you thought. And then you'll have to do it again the next day and again the next day. But if you, I think the greatest advice is if what you're doing is running so desperately that actually, if you were just alone with the Lord right now and sat quietly, you'd probably end up in tears. Then my greatest advice would be go and be alone and end up in tears. And if you're a mum and you're thinking, oh gosh, but I can't, you know, I've got children. Oh my goodness, you should see how much I've cried in front of my children. After my whole pelvis thing, I ended up, you know, getting better, and I ended up being able to have a third child, which I've, you know, just been able to do. But I had a horrendous pregnancy, and I cried all the time through this pregnancy. But it was a beautiful picture to my kids, and mums, listen to this. It was a beautiful picture to my kids of what it looks like to fall apart, to take it to the Lord, to heal, to find my feet again, to get back up and do the day again, not to cling to control. And then we wonder why our children struggle with anxiety by, you know, age six. You're not you are to blame, never, but we've got to show them. We've got to show them also what it looks like to fall apart a bit, you know, to not necessarily turn to the bottle or turn, but actually to say, you know, I just actually need a good cry. Or can you let mom just have a bath for 15 minutes? I just need to be quiet with God and actually just let this all go and find that peace that surpasses understanding. I was once told that if your peace makes sense, it's probably not from God.
Oh, that's
How's
good.
that?
That's
So,
good. That's good. That's
I mean,
good.
that's it. We've got to actually find that peace that makes no
Sure.
sense. Like, I'm a mess, Lord. This is hard, or the day's been hard, or the week, or the year, or the 30 years. You know, now please, I need to find that peace. And we've got to be quiet. We've got to actually let go of those emotions,
Yeah,
in order
yeah.
to find peace.
I wanna pick up on quite a few things you said, but One of the things you said was, now if it's been 30 years, for instance, of struggles, if it's been, we have this notion in our minds, and perhaps once again due to the wrong doctrine, that the challenges in life should have like an expiry date, especially if you're a Christian. As if there's this notion that life is going to get easier if you just hold on, if you just hang
Totally.
in there, it's going to get easier. And that's what people tell you all the time when they try and comfort you, whether you lost a loved one or it's a sickness or where it's financial hardship. They will always tell you, just hang in there, things are going to get better. I want to ask you, do things get better or do we get stronger?
Think there's a bit of both, but I think we've, I know I actually wrote it in one of my devotionals once, like something along the lines of like your rainbow's coming. They say like the storm's always followed by a rainbow. I'm not so sure. Sometimes you've got to create that rainbow. Sometimes you've got to actually just count your blessings, and create connection and community and things where you are going to find joy again, despite the hard. And also I think to just elevate in our minds, and I've really had to do this, I think, in the past probably year more than ever before, what eternity looks like for you, and that life with the Lord when we're gone from here is going to be so much longer than this time we've had. And so to really place your hope there that one day this will all be gone, but God knows and God is here now, and I can experience peace here and I can experience joy here. And that might be that life is hard, but oh my goodness, God gave me a baby. That just blows my mind every day that we thought we'd never have a third. I've got a huge age gap now. And here I've got this tiny little thing. It doesn't mean that every night is easy. It doesn't mean that, the days aren't long, or now I've just had to frantically, get my mum here to look after my baby to be able to be here. And I'm quickly running out of the room and I haven't tucked in my shirt and my jeans are undone because they don't fit me. It's not like everything suddenly makes sense. It doesn't. But there are those little moments of joy that we can create and that we can be grateful for. And I think we've got to balance out that in your own head. They say as women, you can live up to 70% of your day in your head. 70%. Now, I mean, you think if those are just negative thoughts, what's your life going to look like? If you just break yourself down, or if you just focus on what's going wrong in the world, or if you just sit on social media and flood your mind with exercise programs that you're not doing, all these things, you've got to protect the space. We've got to focus on the good. We've got to look for the blessings that the Lord has given us and thank Him for them. We've got to build community. Friends, get around your tables. Have dinner. If it's just you and one child and you're a single mom, do it. Have dinner at the table. Build connection. Build community. And I think build into those things that will bring joy despite the hard. And then it will just be this balancing act that we never get right. But the good outweighs the bad, and then it doesn't. And then we write down the things that have gone right, and we thank the Lord for those. And so we turn back in our journals and we go, oh my word, Lord, okay, I do remember you are good, even though it doesn't feel like it. And life's not fair. I tell my children that all the time. All the time. Now I hear them say it to each other. I'm allowed to have had a cupcake and you didn't have one. Life's not
That's not
fair. I'm like, hey, watch it. But it's not. Life's
is
not
not.
fair.
It's really not. And I must say, Caitlin, I think you've already dropped so many gems that if our listeners were to just pay attention, they would have heard, even just in you speaking now, the power and the importance of journaling, for instance, came forward as well. So, so important. There's so much more that I have to unpack with our guest, Caitlin De Beer, who is just incredible, motivational speaker, best-selling author and life coach and more. Caitlin, I want to thank you for sharing some of your journey with us. And I know that people can probably find much more in your books. We'll get to that in a moment. And if somebody is blessed enough to see you on a stage where you are a speaker, they'll find more. But I want to take you back just for a moment to the time when you were in rehab. You were talking about overcoming an eating disorder. And as you were speaking, I was wondering whether oftentimes our breaking point is the point of our breakthrough. Whether we need to get to that place of breaking, release, as you spoke earlier, total surrender, so that we can experience and finally get to the point of our breakthrough. Your thoughts?
Yeah, gosh, it's so hard. I've for a long time that was what I did full time was work with people with not necessarily eating disorders, but disordered eating, disordered relationship with self. I don't do a lot of that work anymore, but I did used to. And you can't force someone to get to a point of actually like letting go, and saying this is it. I think we've got to get there ourselves. So it's difficult to give advice ever on that. But yes, usually at our lowest is when it becomes like the greatest moment. And if we think of scripture, I mean, the Lord is very clear in telling us that in our weakness that he is strong. And actually, not even this didn't happen in rehab, but just thinking of a story that relates so much to this is when I was at my, I say like weakest, obviously I was living with a chronic nerve condition, pain condition, which eventually they killed the nerve down the side of my body. So it really was real. But when I was at the worst pain-wise and I couldn't open the curtains and I was terribly depressed and I was, sad and all the wrong things. I was trusting God for healing and he just wouldn't heal me. And I was trying so hard to get healed, which we can't do. But and it was in that place that a friend actually posted something on Instagram, a good friend who's a pastor, and she said, Moses always went back to the mountain to hear from God. Where do you go to? And in that moment, I said to my husband, we've got to go to, there's a place on the rocks down the south coast, where I used to hear from the Lord. Like I need to hear. And I went to that place. And in that place, the Lord gave me this vision for writing a book. And it wasn't this profound moment with an arrow from the sky. I wish we had those. It wasn't like that. It was very ordinary. My skin was bad. I could barely walk. I was catheterizing full time. There was nothing pretty about it. But the reason I bring up that is that this book I then wrote super fast. It's a 365-day devotional, and I wrote it in probably 6 weeks, start to finish, the writing and the editing and the design. It all just happened. And the reason I can say that with such boldness is because I get no kick from it. I get no arrogant, like, oh my word, that was me at my best. If this was me at my worst, and that's not to say I'd be better, stronger, I'd be worse because then I'd be arrogant and then I'd be, all the wrong things. This was the Lord showing up. When you are weak, he is strong. And that's when he shows up. And I think we need to remember that being weak or life not working out or things going wrong, that it doesn't mean that you suddenly going to become the hero, in terms of like having the big breakthrough. But he might. He might become the hero, and that's beautiful. And friends, that's far more beautiful than you being the hero.
Amen.
That's far more impactful for others' lives is when he shows up. And so, yes, you get your greatest breakthroughs when you're weakest. But I think also because you actually give him control, you hand it over and say, "Have your way." And that actually, at our strongest, would look so much more beautiful if we could do that at our strongest. Except often it takes our weakest to actually give him the reins and say, "Run with this, Lord. You are all I have."
Caitlin, tell us about your books. I'm sure somebody's listening and they really wish that they could hear more of your story. Tell me about your books. Where do we get it? How do we support?
Yeah, sure. So I've written at this point. I've got out two women's devotionals and a children's devotional. So it's just devotions. And they are the women's ones. The first one's called Walk Out on the Water, and the second one is called Deeper Still. You don't have to read them in order. They're exactly the same thing. They just were written at different times because more people wanted a new one. And then the website is Walk Out on the Water. And the kiddies one is I was about to say called Loewe op die Water because there's an Afrikaans one as well. The women's ones are just in English. The children's is in Afrikaans, and it's really affordable actually at the moment. On the Walk Out on the Water website, and it's Walk Out on the Water for kids. It's age 3 to 8, so the idea is that you would read it with your kids. So that's a 90-day devotional. The women's ones are everyday devotionals. I'd say Deeper Still is probably a more deeper version of Walk Out on the Water, but they're totally different. But both are lovely. The Walk Out on the Water is the one that's made it onto the bestsellers list, but I think it also comes with the beautiful story of learning surrender. And so a lot of people resonate with that and buy it. But also, I have a new book coming out. So I've actually just finished writing, which is so exciting. So that will be out. We haven't released the name yet, but maybe I should here. It will be out by, we'll probably open orders, I'd say, beginning of November. And this one's so cool. So I've written it with my pastor, who is my sort of age. Our spouses have edited and helped us here and there. And it's a family devotional, so really different. It's called At the Well. And the idea is once a week, come almost to the well, if you imagine, and feast together and learn together and sit at the table together and then go out and do life better. So, you know, in the social media world where things are just crazy and connection is so low and families are falling apart and the idea is just once a week, so it's 52 weeks, come together. This doesn't matter if it's, you know, whoever it is that's reading it. At the table, you know, together we encourage people to do it at the table. It has a scripture and makes you actually open a real Bible. So hopefully you can find one in the house, or you can open your phone if need be, read it together, read the devotion, and then there's like a family activity. So sometimes a game, sometimes a prompt, and for all ages. So like we've tried to make this that like if you've got an 18-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old child, that they could both share, as well as parents, and just creates time of connection. It could be 15 minutes, but just once a week coming together. So that's really exciting. So that will launch soon, and we've just confirmed we're in the middle of design. It's really exciting, and we've met with the print team, and it's also affordable. We've tried to really price these well to get it to more people, and obviously it's South African, which people love because it feels like us, you know.
Yes, our people. Yes.
So,
Oh, wow.
yes.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank
That
you.
sounds incredible. You really do so much. You are so many things to so many people, Caitlin, including the little people at your home. What are those little things that you are doing on a personal level to help you to sustain yourself mentally, physically, to help you to be able to show up to a point where you've just had a baby a couple of months ago? And now you're going to release a brand new book as well. You're doing interviews. What is it that you are doing, practically speaking, that's helping you to still show up?
I never want people to look at me and to say, you know, oh gosh, I'm such a failure because I'm not, you know, writing a book and I have a 4-month-old. We all have been designed so differently. So, you know, for writing for me is very easy. So, like something else is for you, like you can interview people on a whim and not have to prepare or whatever you do. I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying for you, whatever your thing is, writing is easy for me. So, it's not a big deal. I don't ever look, I think, at someone else's life and think they, you know, they've got it nailed and you don't. And we created so differently. And our financial situations are also different. I've got time on my hands. I'm at home. You know, I can write books because I'm not working full time. You know, and I run a big NPO and that forms such a big part of my life. And I think that's probably one of the things that fills my tank the most, is that I ensure in my life that I do things that fill my tank. It's difficult. I think if you're stuck in a job where you just need the money, and it is what it is, you need the money. And so I don't think everyone gets to, you know, have their dream job. Obviously amazing if you can. But where you can, I do believe that we can look in and say, like, what is it that makes me come alive? Find five things that every week you have to make time for these five. It might be that one is having a quiet cup of tea outside for 10 minutes. Like that's how small these things can be. But don't scroll on your phone for that time because that probably didn't make you come alive. You know, so I think I've sort of built my life around those things. And so I'm grateful for those, like spending time in our Valley of a Thousand Hills where I work, being with my children. I love that I get to fetch them from school and be actively involved. For another mum, they'd prefer for to be at work all day, and that's fine. You know, you've got to work with what works for you. I love exercise, so I try to make time for that. I definitely am not getting it right every day at the moment, but a walk with my baby here and there is also helpful. I think we've all just got to work out what do you how well how did God create you that's different to the person next to you. So don't go and write a book, please, if that's not going to fulfill you. You know, find your thing. Look and say what actually brings me joy, and go from that place, because there probably is more time in the day than you realize, if you just took away your screen time, which we think is numbing and just like, oh, at
Yeah.
least I get to switch off. But a walk could have probably done you more good if that's something that brings you joy, or a Zumba class if that brings you joy, or whatever, phoning a friend because that would have brought you joy, rather than sitting on our cell phones and just wasting time, or sitting on Netflix and watching the absolute nonsense. I do watch Netflix, but the absolute nonsense that is out there, which there is plenty.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. Very good advice there from Caitlin De Beer. And Caitlin, before we land this conversation, you've given us the details on how to get your books and the new devotional that's coming out. But how do people perhaps give towards your NPO, give towards the work that you are doing that's also helping to fill your tank? How do we get involved?
Oh, thank you. That's really kind. So, you could Instagram's probably the best bet. That's where I'm most active. So, Caitlin Devere is my handle on Instagram. Otherwise, the actual MPO, but I do post everything through myself anyway, is called Pass the Panties, and we do underwear for the Valley of a Thousand Hills. So, we did 36,000 pairs, I think, last year. So, huge amounts, but not. I don't rely like on big corporates. I try and make this like real people like us going out and buying panties and donating, so you feel like you're part of it and your children feel like they are part of it. And I speak at the local schools here to give there. So there's a lot of sort of connection between the two worlds. But go and follow us there anyway, Pass the Panties, because it's a fun, yeah, just a fun NPO, for your children to see or for you to see or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so much dignity comes with underwear. People
Totally,
don't understand.
totally.
Sometimes we just focus on the sanitary towels, and there's a big need for that. But the underwear itself, from experience, I can tell you, there was a time in my life where just having new underwear was a very big thing. It was a very big thing. It gives you so much dignity. So please go and support, dear listeners, if you can. And then within a few moments, we can't not acknowledge Meneer De Beer. We can't not speak about Meneer De Beer. We have to just acknowledge him. How important is it to find your person, how the God person? How important is it that you keep your marriage healthy so that you can be that support for one another or to one another to be able to fulfill your calling? Being married to the God person, the right person, is not just about attraction and finances and all these lovely things people think it is always about, is it?
No, certainly not. I always say I think we could probably marry a new person every 10 years and we'd be good. I think marriage is hard work, friends, is what I'm saying. And yeah, so we've been married for 14 years, and I can't believe it's been that long. I mean, for some that will be so short. Our marriage is definitely stronger now than it's ever been. I'm grateful for our struggles. So, for instance, we had to do fertility to have our baby now, and just the struggle of that, where I was so desperate to do it and he wasn't sold on it, and it created so much friction and so much, just being on different pages, but still trying to come together and to pray about this and to just try and hear each other out. Even though we saw it so differently, and eventually the conversation where it did actually just have breakthrough for both of us, and now the fact that it's led to this beautiful child has just bonded us like a gazillion times over, even more. But had it not been that we were on opposing sides, we probably wouldn't have bonded as much. So I think just I got married so young, and so I can't even like say there's a right way of doing this, because for many that would be the wrong way. But I've been lucky we met through church, and we said it this week, we've been lucky in that we also put a huge amount of work into our marriage, and we saw a counselor for a full year, a year or two ago, and I've been really open about that on social media, especially at the time. I've sent her details to a million people up here. And it wasn't a Christian counselor, but she was pro marriage, if that makes sense. So pro us staying married, not that there was a big enough reason not to, but we actively fight for our marriage. We fight for time together. We try not to turn on the TV every night so that we can actually talk. We try and connect during the day. There've been seasons when we've really needed date nights. At the moment, we've just been in a really sweet spot where our children are 8 and 9, and then obviously the baby. So they're lovely. They're really enjoyable. We want to be with them. We want to be together. So we don't need this escape as much as we used to. yeah, and just giving each other space to actually like sort of pursue your own dreams. I think that's been really important. We both live fulfilling lives. I think that's good. Yeah, so there's so much. We're in a wonderful community. That's a huge part. We have wonderful friends, not all Christians, but wonderful friends around us. I think that's important to both have friends, you know, people that are holding you accountable, building you up, you know, not just each other, because I don't think marriage can be everything. Obviously go to a good church, which is amazing. Yeah, there's so much, but I'd never want to act like I've got it wrong. I mean, like I've got it right,
You're
because
right,
goodness,
yeah.
marriage is
Well,
lots of work, but beautiful, but
a lot,
beautiful.
a lot of work, but the most amazing thing. I always say, I can't believe that God would bless us in this way, that we would have this capacity to love each other like that. For me, it always boggles my mind. It makes me love God more when I think, wow, God, you thought it good that your children should have the capacity and the ability to love each other romantically in this fashion, to have so much joy and pleasure from each other and so much comfort in one another. God is just amazing. Marriage just always makes me reflect on the goodness and the heart of God so much more. And so have you today, Caitlin. You've really helped us to reflect on the goodness of God. And we thank you for being open and just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead this conversation. I believe somebody was blessed today, whether it is in your journey as an author, a motivational speaker, a life coach, a mother, a wife. May the Lord bless you abundantly so. Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
It's been wonderful to chat. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.